The military was also interested in organizing black men to do labor to support the military operations, and black men acted as teamsters, stevedores, pioneers, which in Civil War parlance is essentially construction work. It would cut roads and improve roads and so forth. Hospital orderlies, nurses, cooks, laundresses, all of these non-combatant tasks were carried out by contrabands who were under the protection of the Union military. Eventually, the Army also sought to enroll black men as soldiers as the war progressed, eventually putting them into the USCT units, Regiments of United States Colored Troops. The work that the Northern military had the contrabands do was very similar to that which the Confederates had slave labor do, working in conjunction with their armies. Now, theoretically, the contrabands received money and were free, but they were often forced to do whatever the United States government wanted them to do, and they did not always receive pay. The same was true of many of the freed people who worked on captured plantations, lands seized from rebel owners as the war went on, and put to use for the benefit of the Union, or at least in theory put to use for the benefit of the Union. Many money-hungry Northern speculators tried to make as much money as possible off these captured plantations. Some Southern owners of plantations signed loyalty oaths to the Union in order to keep control of their lands. They were willing to profess allegiance to the Union in order to keep their lands under their control. Now, neither one of these groups, neither the speculators who came south nor the Southern whites who had conversion experiences and decided that they were loyal to the Union after all, neither of those groups was especially concerned with the welfare of the black people working on the plantations. Most of these plantations were in Louisiana or Mississippi under Nathaniel P. Banks's jurisdiction. Banks was the commander in that area. And Banks issued regulations stating that labor was, as he put it, a public duty. And idleness and vagrancy, according to Banks, were crimes. All able-bodied freed people not otherwise employed had to sign on for public works in the areas under Nathaniel P. Banks' jurisdiction. They had to sign up with an employer for a year at a time, obligate themselves for a one-year stint working for this employer, in return for which they were supposed to make wages, plus get food and housing. But deductions for clothing, medical care, and other things often ate up all of the wages, and the men ended up working for room and board, which struck them as not being that different from what they had done under slavery. They had worked for room and board, essentially. Abolitionists argued that this was a travesty of free labor. How can you call this free labor, they said, when these men have to work for a year at a time, and when they often really don't make any money. Now, not all of the freed people fared poorly. Those who were most skilled naturally tended to do better than those who were less skilled. Others who were on plantations run by the government rather than speculators or white Southerners who'd taken the oath of allegiance, those who were on plantations run by the government did somewhat better. Some army officers tried very hard to help the freed people, but circumstances were difficult at best, and the results were far from ideal. As the war went on, many of the healthiest men were taken into the United States military. The military age, able-bodied black men were taken into the military, leaving behind in the contraband camps a disproportionate proportion of older or infirm or very young boys and men together with women. This made the situation even more difficult and probably necessitated some degree of paternalism on the part of the military officers who looked after the contraband camps. Overall, there was a mortality rate of nearly 25% in the contraband camps, 25%, a shockingly high figure. But to put that in perspective, the rate of death by disease among Confederate and black soldiers approached 20%, also a shockingly high figure. And those were populations of mostly young, healthy men, whereas in the contraband camps, you didn't have as high a proportion of young, healthy men.